Thank you. It is so good to see everybody. Oh, it's so wonderful to be back and diving into God's Word and praying together. Love it. Lord, I just thank you for this group of ladies and the ones that can be here, the ones that can't be here right now, and the ones you're drawing here. Just thank you for your deep, deep love for us. Thank you for your beautiful word that just reveals you and leads us into a deeper understanding and appreciation and love for you. Thanks for today, Lord. Amen. All right. We are in John chapter 20. Verses 1 through 18. I'm going to start reading it. If you can, if you want to close your eyes, you can keep them open, but try and picture it. It's such a beautiful, true story that God's given us. So I'll go ahead and start. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That would be John. That's what he calls himself in this, when he writes in the Gospel of John. So she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." Let's pause there for just a second. Back in those days, grave robbers were a big problem. They were such a problem that in the Roman Empire, it became a capital crime, punishable by death, to be robbing graves. So that's, to me, put another layer of understanding. Mary's personal grief of Jesus being missing. But this kind of thing is happening in that culture a lot of the time. So let's read on. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, that would be John, went in and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. But Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Mary, Jesus said. She turned and cried out, Rabboni, which in Hebrew is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them the message. Just amazing. Just amazing. To think of all that happening. It's so beautiful. Let's take a closer look at what the Bible tells us about Mary Magdalene. So someone has Luke 8, 1 through 3. Can you read it? Okay, Kit.
Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons.
Wow. So Mary Magdalene is following Jesus, the one who had cast out seven demons. So she, it says about another woman in another place that she loved much because she had been forgiven much. I think she knew that she had been forgiven much. And she really wanted to stick close to Jesus. So then in Matthew 27, who has that one?
That's me. And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene.
So this was at the crucifixion. She's standing with the other women at a distance. She sees everything that's going on with her dear Lord. Then John 19, 25 through 27. Who has that one to read?
Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene.
Right. Then right after that is when Jesus turns to John and asks him to take care of his mother. Jesus is in agony. He's a total physical mess. And he still thinks to turn to John and ask him to care for his mother. And Mary Magdalene was standing right there, and she witnessed that. Then Mark 15, 47, who has that one?
Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where Jesus' body was laid.
So they saw where he was buried. And then Mark 16, 1. So as soon as the Sabbath was ended, Mary Magdalene and these other women went and got spices to anoint Jesus' body. So they're expecting Jesus' body to be there. They wanted to show their love for him by anointing that precious body. So then we come to our passage in John 20. So Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. She sees it empty. She's totally distraught. Somebody has stolen her Lord. And she runs and tells the disciples. She tells Peter and John. So after she tells them and they come and find the empty tomb also, she's still standing there and weeping. And I think it's, did you ever cry so hard you just think you can't ever stop crying? It's just from deep inside. She's standing there and weeping. And she's weeping so hard, I mean, it seems like it doesn't even land in her consciousness that she's talking to two angels. She's just totally, totally broken. And when she turns to leave and she sees Jesus, she doesn't recognize him and she thinks it's the gardener. I'm sure she was still just sobbing. And then he calls her name. Can you just hear the love in his voice? The recognition of who she is. He knows her. He knows all about her. He knows all her past and her present. He knows her future. And he calls her name. And she knows then who he is. And she, in another gospel, talks about grabs his feet. That was a common thing in that part of the world. If someone had a lot of power and you wanted mercy from them, you would, it's really a humility thing. You're bowing before them and you're holding onto their feet, asking for mercy. But so she's just clinging to Jesus. And Jesus gives her a job to do. He didn't say, like, it's not right to cling to me and worship me this way. He knew that he is God. And it was totally okay that she was worshiping him and loved him so much. But he wanted to send her on a mission. So he sends her to his brothers. Remember when Jesus was healing people and preaching, and his mom and his brothers came and they tried to get him away from that crazy scene? And Jesus turned and said, "These are my mother and my brothers." His disciples, the ones that follow God, that listen to God, are his true brothers. So he sends her back and calls the disciples brothers. And what a gracious, beautiful message he gives. I'm going back to my father, and it's your father too. And my God and your God. But it's only because of his death and resurrection that he can do that. Because that's the only way that we can call God Father. That's the torn veil that lets us into the Holy of Holies. It's just so amazing, the grace that Jesus' words had toward his followers. Mary, when she recognized who Jesus was, called him Rabboni. That was kind of like rabbi, but even more intense, a lot more personal than that. It's like my beloved teacher, my honored teacher, who's above everything. So she truly worshiped him. She knew she had been forgiven much, and she loved much. So may we also realize how much we've been forgiven and just love much. And it's always a growing thing. Comments, questions. Yes, learning to love Jesus, learning to love him more and more and more.
So Mary was like the first missionary, right? God sent Mary out. Jesus sent Mary out.
To his brothers.
That's what came to my mind when you said that.
It's amazing to me that he, humanly speaking, that he chose her. Because in that culture, women weren't respected as witnesses, weren't even allowed to witness in a lot of situations.
Especially a prostitute.
Yes. And that was his first witness.
We still struggle with that. I'm surprised they believed her.
Yeah. Well, one gospel says at first they didn't. So, yeah.
Something to say about the fact that she stayed. You know, they all saw that he wasn't there, and then they all ran out, but she stayed. I wonder if there's something about just feeling and mourning and loving and taking time to feel those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just something beautiful.
And how we need to
do that too.
Feel all those things and have that comfort, whereas men need to, you know, connection.
Yeah. And sometimes that's what's needed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the understatement that woman, why are you weeping? Because she had a real reason to weep.
Yeah.
And that's how he comes into our situations. Like, why are you weeping? I got it all under control. It's okay. Go tell him everything's fine. Because, you know, we get so lost in situations, and this could happen, and that could happen, and oh, where is he, and what did they do, and like you said, did they rob his body, did they steal his money, and he just, why are you crying?
Yeah.
I had a situation like that not too long ago, and I told some of the girls that I was just like, overwhelmed, and I laid down on the bed, and I'm like, Lord, my life, and then I went, wait a minute. It's not my life, it's his life. Okay, Lord, will you do something with your life? And he did. And it's that perspective, right? You know, that we get so caught up in things to not even see the truth of the situation. You know, why are you crying?
Yeah, not recognize him.
Yeah, recognize he's right there. I'm on work, ask him. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. Yes,
I think verse 17 is interesting, where he says, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. And yet later on that day, he let the disciples touch him. But he didn't want Mary to at that point. And my friend who's teaching Oregon said, because he actually ascended to the Father to lay his blood before the mercy seat, before he met the disciples later on.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting to research. Because he said, say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. And yet he didn't go for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I am ascending. But I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I have to look into that.
I'm not expecting an answer.
No, I know. It's like, I have to check that one out. All right. Yes?
I really like how you said Jesus gives her a job to do. He wanted to send her on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can be mature enough, which most of the time I'm not, but when I have a trial or a trauma or problem or anything, to look at it, like how can I use this for God's purpose? And one day I was walking and I was just thinking about Jesus' way to the cross as he was walking with his to Calvary, and how obviously he was in much trauma, but his purpose was set before him, and he turned that trauma into purpose, and I really like that. We always want to, in the power of God, to turn trauma into purpose. What's the purpose in this? How can I?
And ask him. Yeah, Do you running to him and asking him? Yeah. All right. Let's all pray together. Yay.